effect on us. So the first point is that when we recite the Quran, at least we need to read, if we are not familiar with Arabic language, we need to read the translation as well. Of course, no translation can
do the right to the Arabic
version. Give the exact message. But anyway, it's better than just reading the Arabic sentences without understanding anything. So the more we understand the verses of the Quran, the more we would be affected by it. And that is why we see that when we read the stories of some of the, not only the infallibles, even our great scholars, I mean the mystics, the men of spirituality, sometimes when they recited even one verse of the Quran, they went unconscious or they cried a lot.
Exactly, yes.
So it means that there is a big difference if you just read the Quran without understanding or you just ponder over the meaning and message of the verse. So
the first point is to do it with full awareness.
Exactly. And when it comes to, I mean, Salat and Fatihatul Kitab, if we really understand Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the fact that Allah is Rahman, what is Rahman, what is Rahim, what is the difference between the two, the fact that God is Maliki Yawmuddin, He's the sovereign on the Day of Judgment. So, I mean, even on a daily basis, when we are saying the prayer, if we pay attention to the real messages of the verses, then for sure no one can claim that it will not change and we will not be affected by the verses. So it might be a practical tip for the people that instead of reading a lot of verses without understanding, just
exactly.
choose to read one verse or a couple of verses. And during the day, I mean, when they recite the verse, they just ponder over the verses.
Go between the lines.
Yeah. And during the day, they may go back and think about this same verse. I mean, for 1 month, we may just think about Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So that needs practice. So if we do not feel that we are not affected, it is because of the fact that we are just reading. And the more knowledge...
We're doing it as a duty, not
exactly.
as something that we love.
That's
it.
The point. And the more we have we increase our knowledge regarding the verses, the more effect we will receive from that.
Yeah.
We know that the messages of the Quran are not going to be finished, and that is why always the scholars of interpretation of the Quran are...
updating their knowledge
exactly,
and
their
concept that they get from
new points regarding the Noble Book of Quran. So that's the first point. The next point is about some kind of liveliness and vitality when it comes to all acts of worship. So especially when it comes to the recommended deeds, we are highly recommended to do them when we feel like that. Not at the time that we do not feel like that.
When
we are tired. Of course, when it comes to the obligations, at the end of the day, we need to say our 5 daily prayers.
But do it at a time that you are fully aware that you're going with your soul to do that.
Exactly.
Not just doing it.
And interestingly, Imam Hadi alayhi salam says that, and it's been mentioned by other imams as well, that your hearts have, if I may paraphrase it, good time and, I mean, bad time. Sometimes you do not feel like doing a recommended actions. I mean, you see sometimes people are too tired, but at the kind of habit, they just try to see some supplications and prayer, and they do not enjoy it at all. They just read some phrases. It's not recommended. And Imam Ali al-Salam says that when you feel that your heart, your mind is not present, is not helping you for doing a recommended action, just leave it. And
so we should provide a mood for those
exactly.
jobs to do.
So the same is true about reciting the Quran. I mean, imagine reciting the Quran early in the morning or late at night when you're so tired. For sure, there would be much difference in terms of affecting our soul.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Inshallah, inshallah, inshallah.
Now, the third point is about is what we call it Mahmudism and worldliness. It's been mentioned in the narrations that if you really want to be affected by all the acts of worship, including reciting the Quran, then one of the great barriers and impediments is getting attached to this world. So this is, and of course there are some practical ways to be away from that. Like, I mean, for all the people, it's, encouraged to have a kind of plan for paying charity, for we have the obligations of homes and zakat, but we shouldn't, of course, many people should not do that either. But anyway, beside that, we need to get used to helping the poor people, giving charity, not to get attached to this world. From time to time, we need to pay attention to this duty as well.
So the other point is attachment to this world.
It's as a kind of barrier.
Yes, as a kind of barrier that impede in the way of getting close and
definitely
having affections.
The other point mentioned in the narrations is what we call it forbidden food. Meaning that when you consume a food which is bought through an illegal income, it has a very negative, consequences on your heart, on your spiritual mind.
The curtains will fall on your eyes, and then you no
definitely
longer would
yeah
have.
So if you
get the effects from the
if your
book
income is haram, is earned through illegal ways, it could be through different ways, like deceiving the people, like usury, for example, or many other ways, then you cannot expect your heart to be, spiritually speaking, affected by reciting the verses of the Noble Book of Quran. And especially for parents, not only they are affecting their own life, they are affecting the life of
their
children as well. So this is another point that we need to take care of. And
So up until now, if I give you a summary of the reasons why we do not feel anything from the rituals that we do or from the holy book that we study, from the verses, one of them was having attachment to this world, so much of attachment, so much of busyness. We go to pray or go to read that holy book with so much on our head. Another point was the haram foods or the what we call as forbidden foods that get into our stomach, and then they would draw the curtains over our eyes, and we no longer understand the books that we read, the holy book that we read, or the prayers that we do. And also, we talked about having the spirit to read the holy book or to do our prayers. So we shouldn't go there while we're tired and we do not have the mood for it, because it's not important to just do it as a duty. It's important to get something from it. So do it while you are lively and you have the spirit for it.
Yeah, just to share one more practical point, of course, a general point for all acts of worship, and the same is true about reciting the Quran, being away from the, vain desires. Imam Ali alayhi salam says that a person who is following his or her vain desires, then how they expect to taste the, pleasure of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's very practical in our, time and era that, we have no control over our eyes. We may see everything, including the forbidden scenes. We may have no control over our ears. We may listen to everything, including, haram music or people backbiting. So then we expect the same ears to be affected by it, listening to the Noble Book of Quran. We do and commit a lot of sins with our tongue, like lying, bothering other people, oppressing the people, insulting, using foul language, and then we expect the same tongue that when it recites the Quran, then we
and to get affected by the book.
So it's not practical, it's not possible. So if we want to be, having a big picture, if you want to be affected, then it requires all your bodies to be ready for receiving that spiritual effect. So we need to be away from any kind of sin, especially those sins regarding our vain desires, if we really want to enjoy all the acts of worship, including salat, prayer, including reciting the Quran. And again, it's not going to happen overnight if you're not...
We have to practice.
We need to practice, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So also... we got another point, another reason for that, which was about the fact that we should control all our body and we shouldn't go for the holy book with a dirty heart and expect ourselves to get the meanings and to get affected by the holy book of Quran or the verses or even praying. And also we mentioned something about the meaning. We should go deep into the meaning of the book that we're reading. It's not just an ordinary book, so we should... have an understanding of the words that have been mentioned in there. So, dear listeners, this is all the time that we've got for today's episode. Thank you for listening.
وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Said Puraza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Said Aminolemi, Kabul.
Shahanabad, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
Mashhad, a tourist magnet in northeast Iran. Every year, some 30 million pilgrims from across the Muslim world travel to Mashhad to visit the holy shrine of Imam Reza, the 8th Shia Imam. But a few miles away from the shrine, there's a whole new world for tourists who would also like to enjoy natural resorts after a spiritual journey. Welcome to Kuh Sangi, a heaven at the heart of Mashhad, as described by this Iraqi family.
We come from Iraq. We visited the holy shrine of Imam Reza, and then I found about this amazing place called Kuh Sangi and came with my family to enjoy the scenery.
It's my second trip to Mashhad. The city offers you a whole traveling package that includes pilgrimage and recreation.
Kuh Sangi is one of a myriad of attractions in Mashhad. Natural resorts such as Shandiz and Chali Dara Valley and recreational centers such as Water Waves Land and Iram Amusement Park are among the must-see places in Mashhad. The city is also home to 10,000 historical sites. Only 1,500 of those sites have so far been registered and developed for tourists.
One of the major attractions of Mashhad is its restaurants and street eateries. Mashhad is the city of foods. It has numerous restaurants serving a variety of local and international foods. Mashhad also has more than 680 parks, providing a chance for visitors to entertain themselves besides their pilgrimage.
Mashhad is also a hotspot for health tourism in the region. Only in 2021, over 24,000 health tourists visited the city, mainly from Iraq and Oman, earning the city roughly $48 million. Authorities in Mashhad say the potentials are countless, but so are the challenges. To foreign visitors, Mashhad is still a religious-only city, and many are not aware of its recreational capacities.
We at the municipality are trying to raise awareness of the attractions in Mashhad. One of those efforts is the launching of the English version of our website, which guides foreign travelers through the city online. We will soon launch the Arabic webpage as well.
Due to the large number of visitors throughout the year, Mashhad has one of the best-equipped public transport systems in the country. It has a growing subway network and bus rapid transit system, beside other transportation services, making it easy to access the desired tourist destinations in the city.
Known as the spiritual capital of Iran, Mashhad seems to offer more than a spiritual experience to visitors. With its spectacular natural resorts and growing number of recreational centers, Mashhad municipality plans to turn the city into a tourist hub in the region. Yusuf Jalali from the city of Mashhad.
Yet another wave of COVID-19 is hitting South Korea, with cases doubling to 40,000 per day in the past week. The BA5 Omicron subvariant accounts for almost a third of the new cases, a portion that is increasing. While experts recognize vaccines may not always prevent infection, they decrease illnesses and deaths.
Even people who have been infected with Omicron before are not able to develop enough immunity to this variant unless they are vaccinated. People who have been fully vaccinated and boosted but become infected have reduced chances of severe illness of 70 to 90%.
The fatality rate of COVID-19 has dropped to near the seasonal flu. Still, experts argue that changed behaviors of mask wearing and routine vaccinations should remain in place.
The recent spike in COVID-19 cases here comes as South Korea Thursday detects the first case of BA2.75, nicknamed Centaurus. Scientists worry this highly mutated Omicron variant is even more transmissible than previous strains.
Some want stronger antivirus enforcement, suggesting public apathy risks another COVID-induced economic downturn. People are required to wear masks on transit, but the government has said it will not implement lockdowns. People over 50 will be offered fourth vaccinations next week. Frank Smith, Seoul.
A debate in the European Parliament has heard that 22% of people in the EU are struggling to make ends meet. That's almost 100 million citizens who are counting every cent. Apparently, sending weapons to Ukraine is not the answer.
The best way to deal with the cost of living crisis is to stop prolonging the war. The people of Europe favour peace, even well above punishing Russia.
EU financial markets are in turmoil. There are calls for the introduction of a windfall tax.
Energy prices and food prices are going through the roof. Capitalists make profits by speculating on markets and thereby hurting millions of households.
Members of the public have been talking to us about the current state of the EU's economy.
It's terrifying to see that our free market is like collapsing. All the money that we are going to send to Ukraine, then we will have to need this money, and where we are going to take this money from.
The head of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, has been singled out for criticism in the European Parliament.
We talk now about the increase of cost of living in the European Union, which is just a result of the insane and unsound policies promoted by the European Union since Ursula von der Leyen took office.
There have been calls for greater solidarity between EU member states to deal with the cost of living crisis.
In order to make sure that we are not at the end dividing Europe in those who are able to help and those who have more difficulties.
On sanctions against Russia, Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban has said, quote, "Initially I thought that we had only shot ourselves in the foot, but now it is clear that the EU economy has shot itself in the lungs and is gasping for air." Many here agree. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Okay.
Despite the UN brokered truce, the consequences of the Saudi-led war are still taking the lives of Yemeni women and children. A recent report by the International Committee of the Red Cross says a mother and six newborns die every 2 hours in Yemen of complications that occur during pregnancy and causes that can be avoided in normal circumstances.
There is a severe shortage of medical supplies and medicines, as well as a significant increase in the prices of medicines, which has led to the deterioration of health services not only in the countryside, but even in main cities.
We as gynecologists have noticed a significant increase in the number of abortions, especially premature abortions in the early stages of pregnancy. Therefore, we hope to conduct studies that will reveal to us the reason and whether or not the prohibited weapons used by the Saudi-led coalition contributed to this tragedy.
The committee says the numbers are likely to increase due to a lack of health services or poor care provided, especially amid a shortage of funding for the United Nations programs in Yemen, as well as the termination of aid related to reproductive health and mother and child health. Recently, most of the United Nations programs, including the World Food Program, announced the suspension of their humanitarian activities in Yemen due to a lack of funding, as well as the consequences of the Russia-Ukraine war.
Yemeni health officials say 19 million Yemenis lack access to health care. They say it is a shame for the international community to abandon Yemeni women and the children who have been paying the highest price since the beginning of the Saudi-led war in Yemen. Abdulatif Al-Washali, Sana'a.
Yet another wave of COVID-19 is hitting South Korea, with cases doubling to 40,000 per day in the past week. The BA.5 Omicron subvariant accounts for almost a third of the new cases, a portion that is increasing. While experts recognize vaccines may not always prevent infection, they decrease illnesses and deaths.
Even people who have been infected with Omicron before are not able to develop enough immunity to this variant unless they are vaccinated. People who have been fully vaccinated and boosted but become infected have reduced chances of severe illness of 70 to 90%.
The fatality rate of COVID-19 has dropped to near the seasonal flu. Still, experts argue the changed behaviors of mask wearing and routine vaccinations should remain in place.
The recent spike in COVID-19 cases here comes as South Korea Thursday detects the first case of BA.2.75, nicknamed Centaurus. Scientists worry this highly mutated Omicron variant is even more transmissible than previous strains.
Some want stronger antivirus enforcement, suggesting public apathy risks another COVID-induced economic downturn.
I know that more than 90% of corona can be prevented by wearing a mask, but if people keep coming inside and taking off their masks, I feel like it will be impossible to stop the spread. So the government should take stronger measures in that area.
People are required to wear masks on transit, but the government has said it will not implement lockdowns. People over 50 will be offered fourth vaccinations next week. Frank Smith, Seoul.
Every year in the lunar month of Dhul Hijjah, Muslims celebrate Eid al-Ghadir, a major festivity on the Islamic calendar, marking the day when Prophet Muhammad appointed Ali ibn Abi Talib, the first Shia imam, as his successor, and Muslims' next leader some 14 centuries ago. In Iran's city of Mashhad, the shrine of Imam Reza has been hosting pilgrims who have come days ahead of the auspicious occasion to celebrate the festivity.
Happy Eid al-Ghadir to all fellow Muslims. I come from Iraq to participate in the celebrations here in Mashhad.
Eid al-Ghadir marks the day when Prophet Muhammad announced to Muslims that Imam Ali is the next Muslim leader. He raised Imam Ali's hand and said, "Whoever I am, their leader, Ali is their leader too." The Prophet was on his way back from his last Hajj pilgrimage, where he was accompanied by many people.
Eid al-Ghadir comes 8 days after another major festivity on the Islamic lunar calendar, dubbed Eid al-Adha, or the Feast of Sacrifice. The occasion marks the climax of the annual Hajj pilgrimage.
To us Iranians, it's a blessing to visit the shrine of Imam Reza on the Feast of Sacrifice and other festivities. Those of us who can't make it to Mecca on the Hajj usually come to Imam Reza's shrine to pray and enjoy the spiritual atmosphere.
Imam Reza is the eighth Shia Imam, whose bloodline goes back to the Prophet of Islam. He holds a special position among Iranians since he spent his last years of life in Iran, away from his birthplace in modern-day Saudi Arabia. Every year, his holy shrine hosts millions of pilgrims from around the Muslim world, especially during religious occasions. Iranians never miss a chance to come and visit the shrine of Imam Reza. And now that Eid al-Ghadir is just around the corner, Shia Muslims find it an opportunity to once again attend this holy site and share the festive mood with each other. Yusuf Jalali from the Holy Shrine of Imam Reza in Mashhad.
Notorious Ukrainian website Mirot Veretz, meaning peacemaker. It publishes the names and addresses of those it deems to be enemies of Ukraine. The opening page shows pictures of dead Russian soldiers. On the list are domestic and foreign journalists, politicians and citizens that in some way they view to have aided or worked with pro-Russian forces in the country. Now, shamefully, they are adding children to the list. Faina Sevenkova, she is 13 years old and has been writing about her experiences here in Donbass. After her name appeared on the list, she started to receive threats of physical violence online.
Are you worried about being on the website? Are you concerned that something might happen to you?
Yes, of course. A person I knew got to know my address and came to greet me for my birthday. These are good intentions, but something worse can happen. Websites like this shouldn't exist. They're illegal. They put many people in danger, children as well. I have a friend who was put on there because she wrote a poem about war.
Numerous journalists and public figures have been murdered after being put on the list, like Oles Bazina, who was shot near his home in Kiev, and Andrea Rocelli, an Italian journalist. After he is killed on the front line, the website posted liquidated over his photo. The Committee to Protect Journalists has previously written to the Ukrainian government asking them to condemn the unfounded and damaging allegations published on Mirotavets and to clarify publicly that the Ukrainian Interior Ministry is dedicated to protecting journalists. The United Nations and Human Rights Watch have also condemned the site. Dianis Bitkonen, a Finnish journalist in Donbass, he's also on the list.
It's all against all international laws, and you shouldn't have right, any country shouldn't have a right to do that kind of like hunting list, kill lists of people and put it to the public, especially. It's a very brutal way how to cause people serious problems, and many have lost their lives because of being on that list.
The website clearly states it provides information for law enforcement authorities and special services. Ukrainian government ministers have praised the site, and it is actively used by the authorities to track and detain enemies of the state.
While Western media and governments try to whitewash the extremist or far-right neo-Nazi elements here in Ukraine, calling it Russian propaganda, for a website promoted, supported and used by the government that openly encourages violence towards children is a clear indication that Ukraine does have a serious problem with state-sponsored extremism.
They're basically encouraging people to kill people on the list?
Yeah. That's why I've been in since 2015. I certainly cannot fall to the Ukrainian hands because I am on that list with several pages even. But like the old saying is that the other one's terrorist is another one's freedom fighter. And hopefully all sense and truth and peace-loving people understand that all these people in that list are heroes.
To openly encourage violence towards children takes a special kind of evil, an evil that NATO countries, as they continue to pump Ukraine with money, weapons and political support, seem unwilling or incapable to challenge. Johnny Miller, Donbass.
The EU's tourism industry is currently thriving, but make no mistake, businesses facing huge overheads are struggling to turn a profit. In its summer economic forecast, the European Commission has revised growth downwards and inflation upwards. The bloc is concerned Russia is going to turn off all its gas supplies.
This risk has become more than just a hypothetical scenario for which we need to prepare. So a storm is possible.
For millions, the storm is already here. Governments are accused of not providing support to deal with the cost of living crisis arising from sanctions against Russia, but can find money for other causes.
The EU is providing 9 billion euro to Ukraine to run the country and has sent a separate 2 billion for military equipment. This is in addition to the huge amounts of money being spent on Ukraine by individual member states, most of whom are in NATO, where military spending is also increasing. Not to mention the EU is developing its own army.
Citizens say fueling the Ukraine war is costing the EU too much.
It's time to be talking about peace, not about weapons or providing more financial aid to the war.
If the parties could come together and agree a peace, that would be wonderful. But, you know, I'm not sure that's happening, right?
Yes, of course we need to end the war, but the problem is nobody knows how to end the war, you know.
The head of NATO, Jens Stoltenberg, has been facing pressure during a visit to the European Parliament.
NATO,
along with the US and the EU, were never a defensive mechanism, not before the war and not after it. They are offensive. Ukraine has been sacrificed for their interests.
Experts warn the growing social crisis in the EU will have dire consequences for the political establishment. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Palestinians in the Gaza Strip have condemned U.S. President Joe Biden's visit to occupied Palestine. Scores of people in the blockaded enclave protested against Biden's visit while shouting slogans in support of resistance actions against the occupying regime. U.S. President Joe Biden arrived in Tel Aviv on Wednesday to kick off his first trip to the region since taking office. Palestinian resistance movement Hamas accused Joe Biden of putting the interests of the Israeli regime ahead of the legitimate rights of Palestinians and regional security.
The President of the United States of America carries nothing but unlimited support for the Zionist entity, its security and prosperity, and a package of false promises to the Palestinians. The United States' adoption of Zionist plans is based on uprooting our people from their land by force and obliterating their identity and history in favor of the Zionist entity.
During his trip to the occupied territories, Joe Biden visited U.S.-funded missile interception systems, including the so-called Iron Dome and Iron Beam. The Islamic Jihad movement says the U.S. administration only aims to prolong the Israeli occupation and support its aggression against the Palestinian people.
Joe Biden's visit comes to serve the interests of the Zionist entity, and he's not welcomed in our land. We believe that the U.S. and the Zionist regime share the same interests. Joe Biden has ignored the suffering of the Palestinian people and continues to support the Zionist regime.
Palestinians have warned against the dangers of Biden's agenda and the attempts to integrate the Israeli regime into the region and expand the circle of normalization with it. Analysts say that all U.S. administrations have adopted the same biased policy towards the Israeli regime.
When it comes to Israel and Israeli security, there is no difference at all between Republicans and Democrats. What we are witnessing today is that Democratic President Joe Biden's support for the deal of the century and his support for further normalization between Israel and the Arab countries.
Palestinians are calling on the free people of the world to reject the arrogance and policies of the United States that target the region's security and stability.
Observers say that Joe Biden's visit will only give the Israeli regime the green light to further violate the rights of the Palestinian people. Ashraf Shanan, Gaza.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
in the limelight.
The Inspector General for the Department of Homeland Security said that though the U.S. Secret Service opted to have its office do a review of the agency's response to the January 6th Capitol attack in lieu of conducting after-action reports, it then stonewalled the review by slow-walking production of materials. We have prepared for you an article written by Hugo Lowell under the heading, U.S. Panel is Told Secret Service's January 6th text messages story has shifted several times. The Inspector General for the Department of Homeland Security told the House January 6 Select Committee at a briefing on Friday 15th of July that the Secret Service's account about how text messages from that day, from the day before and the day of the Capitol attack were erased, has shifted several times. The Inspector General told the panel at one point the explanation from the Secret Service for the lost text was because of software upgrades, while at another point, the explanation was because of device replacements. The Inspector General also said that though the Secret Service opted to have his office do a review of the agency's response to the Capitol attack in lieu of conducting after-action reports, it then stonewalled the review by slow-walking production of materials. After the Inspector General raised his complaints, he then discussed the feasibility of reconstructing the texts. But according to participants at the briefing, the issue so alarmed the Select Committee that the panel moved hours later to subpoena the Secret Service. The string of fast-paced developments on Capitol Hill reflected how the erasure of the Secret Service text, first disclosed in a letter to Congress by the Inspector General, Joseph Kufari, has become a top priority for the congressional inquiry into the January 6th Capitol attack. The circumstances surrounding the erasure of the Secret Service text from the day before and the day of the Capitol attack have become central for the Select Committee as it investigates how it planned to move Donald Trump and Mike Pence as the violence unfolded. According to the panel, the texts are potentially significant for investigators as the Secret Service played a crucial role in preventing Donald Trump from going to the Capitol on that day and wanted to remove the then-Vice President Mike Pence from the complex. In the letter, the Inspector General said that certain Secret Service texts from 5th of January and 6th of January 2021 were erased amid a device replacement program, even after he had requested the messages for his internal inquiry. The Secret Service has disputed that, saying in a statement that data on some phones were lost as part of a pre-planned system migration in January of 2021, and that Kufari's initial request for communications came weeks later in late February 2021. But the participants said the Select Committee questioned the Secret Service's emphasis on that date and noted in the subpoena letter that the request for electronic communications in fact first came from Congress 10 days after the Capitol attack. The congressional request from 16th of January 2021 addressed to multiple executive branch agencies, including the Homeland Security Department, which oversees the Secret Service, was for all materials referring or relating to the riot. The participants said members on the Select Committee were privately skeptical of the notion that the Secret Service managed to inadvertently erase key messages during a 10-day period that was among perhaps the most tumultuous for the agency. One of the Select Committee's members added on Friday, 15th of July, if some of the texts were deliberately erased after the 16th of January 2021 request, that could amount to obstruction of a congressional investigation. A spokesperson for the Secret Service could not immediately be reached for comment. The House Select Committee has spent recent days trying to establish whether it was all texts from 5th of January and 6th of January 2021 that were lost, or just some of the texts, exactly how the texts came to be erased, and whether additional days' worth of texts from that month were missing. The participants at the briefing said Kufari was not able to provide clear answers on those questions, beyond the fact that he understood a proportion of texts from both the day before and the day of the capital attack remain unaccounted for. The participants said the unanswered questions were because of a lack of transparency from the Secret Service. At the briefing, Kufari said the explanation for the lost text shifted from software upgrades to device upgrades to still other issues. According to the participants, Kufari also expressed optimism to the House Select Committee that the erased text could be reconstructed through previous backups of messages or tools available to federal law enforcement. The Justice Department Inspector General has previously been able to retrieve lost texts using forensic tools in 2018 to recover messages from two senior FBI officials who investigated former presidential nominee Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump and exchanged notes criticizing the latter. The controversy over the erased Secret Service text erupted on Wednesday, 13th of July, after Kufari's letter became public, and the House Select Committee went into overdrive to assess the impact on its investigation. That prompted the House Select Committee Chairman, Benny Thompson, to discuss the matter with the panel's staff director, David Buckley, and his deputy, Kristen Ameling, and later with the full House Select Committee, which asked Kufari to provide a closed-door briefing.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the pitch.
On Youth Station.
Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamite.
Islamite.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salaamu alaikum, dear listeners. Welcome to another show of Youth Station. We're here again, and since you've boarded the train, there's no choice because that's the only station that we have. There's no getting off. Welcome, and we will not be serving any feasts on this ride except for food for thought.
Yes, there's another person in here. This is Asma.
Welcome, welcome,
yes,
welcome.
Yeah, thank you for noticing me.
Yeah, thank you for welcoming me. Right.
Yes.
By the first verse of the Holy Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Allah will bless you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Protect you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Help you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
So ask His blessings.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
His protection.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
His help.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
How are you?
I'm all right. I'm all right. Well, that's a thought in itself. Are you all right?
Well, it's
are
a never-ending
sure?
question.
Yeah,
that's a $1 million question.
Yeah, I think that's undervaluing the question.
Yes.
When you say it's a $1 million question. And because there are people...
Yes.
I was watching a documentary on... Well, I'm not going to promote that channel, but It was about a certain safe haven for millionaires or billionaires who are depressed or they're addicted to drugs, certain A-class drugs, right? And these people come to those places, either they're depressed or they're addicted to certain drugs, right? Well, when you've got too much money and there's no God in your life, then the only thing you have is drugs.
That's the point.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So these people go to these places. They try to treat them. They try to cure them with certain medical, psychiatric, you know.
Or processes. Meditations,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And they've made this area that's blocked out and is completely, they cut off from the world, right? Mm-hmm. And they pay as much as $10 million for certain weeks. For weeks.
For weeks.
Right? And that course or that therapy, if you may, is 6 months, right?
Yeah.
And they pay $10 million, if I'm not mistaken, per week.
That's a huge number of money.
Right. What happens to you that you did struggle, right? Mm-hmm. Besides those people who've inherited this kind of wealth, right? Mm-hmm. Those people who are self-made, they've struggled, after all, right?
Yeah.
To reach a place in the society that they are named and tagged and called as what? Billionaires or millionaires, right?
Yeah.
But what happened? Where did they miss out? Because if you are a hardworking person, you do have a schedule, right? You have a certain...
A plan for your life.
Precisely, right? You're persistent. All these positive traits that you have to have to reach that place, right?
Yeah.
You had all those. What went wrong? What do you think?
Well, I think you mentioned it at the very beginning of your speech. I guess it is because when you do not have God in your life and there is no spiritual aspect in your life, then you would lose the meaning of every single thing that you have been attached to. You know, we could actually relate, because sometimes you get to a point where you see no much of meaning in life. Mm-hmm. But then because you have this spiritual link to God, and then you have this concept of the hereafter, and then you come to think that, okay, life is short and it's not going to last forever.
Yeah, YOLO, you know, one of those you only live once philosophy.
Yeah. So I'm just saying that it happens and it's very relatable. I guess the main reason is behind this very fact that when God is missing in your life, then you would lose the track of your life.
Yeah, but is that for sure? Mm-hmm. Like, there's so many people, right? They don't believe in a God. And you know what? They're all right. They're not depressed.
Well, you know, exceptions do not break the rule.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's okay. For sure.
All right. But what do these exceptions have or that has stopped them from breaking down?
Well, still they have perhaps ambitions in life.
Right. Something that they haven't
achieved. Driving force. Something that still has not been dead inside them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would say so.
Yeah, that's a theory. And all we have is theories, right?
Of course. Yeah. And based on personal ideas, we're just talking. It's not something that is like a gospel truth or something.
Yeah, it's not like, carved on stone. It's just something that we speculate.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a break from talking.
Spiritual migration. What do you say about that?
Yeah, people who choose to leave that state they're already in are choosing to move mentally, right?
Yeah,
or choosing to move spiritually. Where they are, they're not comfortable. They want to move. They want to change where they are, right?
Yes.
Mentally, spiritually, wherever they are. So it does exist. Certain people might move.
But do you think it would work?
What would?
Migrating from one habit to another.
One habit to another. As long as you find out what's causing you to be inhabituated to that certain thing, it might be helpful. If you just want to replace a certain thing with another just as bad,
yeah,
then yeah, you might.
You're
just
not doing
stick
a
to the
very
first
deal
thing,
of job.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's no progress. There's no growth, right?
So I guess as human beings, we're doing that on a daily basis. What do you say?
Certain people do. Certain people don't. For example, you're never static. You always move.
That's
right?
It. Yeah.
Either you're growing.
We're
or
active
you're falling
characters,
down. Yeah, you're,
yes.
Yeah, either you're inclining or you're reclining, but there is movement.
Uh-huh.
Nothing is still. Not my personality, not your personality.
Yes.
Nothing in this world is still, right? Even a table, for example. Mm. Yeah, I do see it as something, an object that is still, but it in itself has a movement, right?
Now, since we are talking to the youth,
right.
I would love to just share some ideas upon the fact how to move. Spiritually migrate, as we were just talking about migration, how to spiritually migrate from one bad habit into
another bad habit.
No, actually a better one, of course. We talked about it.
A better bad habit.
No, a better habit.
A better.
Of course.
All right. Relatively
because we want to achieve salvation, so we don't have a better bad habit. We have just good habits.
The first thing that comes to my mind
is
that you need to pay attention to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean about, right, you know, you observe people outside and you see, what the hell is this guy thinking? Certain people do certain things and you're like, what is this guy thinking? What's going on in his head, right?
Mm-hmm.
This what's going on in his head, if we apply that for ourselves, what is going on in my head?
Yeah, that's
right?
Very true.
Yeah, so we need to observe our thought process.
Mm-hmm.
As an outsider,
yeah.
As an outsider, observe why I'm doing this and where I'm headed.
Yeah, and also, you know, I would mention another thing as well. Well, even in the Holy Book of Quran, we have that God has said that those who would migrate from one country into another, for they have been expelled from it. Or if we put it into some modern phrase, I would say, for some reasons, like they're living in a country that is not going to let their children grow in a healthy environment. They would move their country into another. This is also could be considered a sort of spiritual migration, wouldn't it?
It is actual migration, right?
Mm-hmm. But the reason behind it is
precisely, for those people to actually take a step and physically move, they had to undergo that spiritual movement before they actually... Right, look, you'd never do something without thinking, right?
Of course.
You might consciously not think about it, but like when you pick up a glass of coffee and you sip, you drink, your mind, your brain went through that before your body did.
Yes.
The rest of your body, right?
Yeah.
Similarly, if you're leaving a country, if you're leaving a city, going to another place, you had something going on in your head in the first place, right? Within yourself, there was something that was going on.
Yeah.
Which is why you decided to actually carry it out.
So I'm with you up to the point that you're talking about the thinking process. Yes, it's true that all the migrations start with thinking.
Right.
But the thing I was saying was that sometimes a spiritual migration also leads to actual migration.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly, I'm sort of agreeing with you here.
Because not
Why?
All of those people who migrate are doing that for a spiritual reason.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's spiritual migration, and then there's migration for spirituality, right?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So, first you have to undergo spiritual migration in order to carry out a migration for your spirituality.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you went through a certain change. What causes this change? That's the question. What causes you to change the way you think, change the way you see the world? What causes that? What do you think?
Well, just perfection, I would say.
Perfection.
Yes. The idealistic aspect of life, in which is very much heightened in some people, more than the others, would lead them into thinking to change the situation they already are in.
The
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
We are talking to the youth who are living in this time, which is very much looking like everything is haphazardly put together.
They don't find satisfaction. That was so deep.
Wow.
That was so deep.
Shall you please elaborate more on that?
Thing is, they don't find satisfaction. What happens is they move on one thing, from one thing to another, to another, to another, until they find this spark. You're a human being, and every human being wants perfection. There is no human being on this planet that does not want perfection.
Exactly. Right? They seek to improve themselves.
Right. This person had tried all sorts of stuff. To find what? This little spark of peace.
So I guess what you are meaning is that when we wish to go through a spiritual migration, this thing happens that a moment of manifestation would occur to us, and then we go into a deep thinking, and then we try to change the situation.
Yeah, something might trigger that moment.
Yeah.
Something starts that, you know, that thought, right?
Yeah.
Keep moving on. And they realize that these are the things that cause that satisfaction, that bring that peace that they were always looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be one thought, it could be one observation, it could be one action.
A quote, perhaps. You hear a quote from a person, you read it somewhere, and it would have some effects
Open
on
your
you.
Eyes. Yep.
And then that would go through a spiritual journey.
Yep.
So thank you, dear listeners, for staying around. This was all the time that we had for today's discussion. Thank you for choosing us. Until another session, I bid you farewell.
If you did not choose us, you better choose us.
Yes, there's no other way for you. And I will leave you to the never-slipping eyes of God.
I have what I have. My love is strong. Because of you, in weakness I am. My defender and my savior, my giver and my taker, abiding in silence with patience and guidance. Aware when I need you, the light when I seek you, justice, forgiveness, the strength in my plea. And my love is strong. Because you are the one I call creator, my Alpha and Omega, my protector and my maker. Because of you.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.